Yes, I can hear you, Ms. Shreve.
All right, I got about 12:45. We've got a few members that are coming back. This is Ramona. Did I make a comment?
This is Dr. Davey as well.
Ready for Krishna? Hey, Krishna.
Yes, Dr. Malat.
I don't think she can hear me. She's on mute.
No, I can hear you, Dr. Malat.
Krishna, are you there?
Have the ability to unmute. Krishna, do you have the ability to mute everybody? You're the host.
Yes, I can mute everybody or selective participants.
I don't think she can. I don't know if she's here. Heidi, can you hear me?
And then there's also another feature where you can raise your hand, and if somebody is monitoring that, then that person will be unmuted when it's their time, even if it's a board member or anyone else. Because what is happening is there's a lot of phones I'm looking that are not muted, even though, because they're using different things. But if Krishna can mute everybody and then you raise your hand, then if, say, Kathy can monitor it, then we say, okay, Dr. Flowers first raised his hand, can he speak? And it really, with the background noise, very distracting. So,
but not every, Ramona, not everybody's on the picture. Not everybody's on a Zoom picture. Some of them are just on volume.
No, so if you're just on the participants, you have the ability to raise your hand, and that will signify that you have a question. And then if somebody's monitoring, I'm doing 100 Zoom meetings a day, so we've got it down to a science. So, the chat function is not on, I noticed, so we can't use that.
Ramona, I think the issue is, Dr. David, and yeah, we're all becoming Zoom experts, is that people who are only calling in don't have the ability to do the raise hand if they're just calling in on the telephone line. And so that's
what
an issue.
Right. There's no chat. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Ms. Poe, do we need to do a roll call?
Yes, please.
Can you members hear me now?
Go ahead.
The members can hear me?
Here?
Can the members hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky? Dr. Bohansky? Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Dr. Gill?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malat?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky? We have a quorum of 8 members.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum. 8 members are present.
Ms. Poe, do we have a quorum?
Yes, 8 members are present.
Ms. Poe?
Yes, 8 members are present.
Are we on?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Michelle.
Yes, there's 8 members present.
Krishna, can you establish that we have a quorum?
Yes.
I'll instant message.
Ms. Poe, are you doing this?
The only one I didn't hear is Dr. Bohansky.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead. I just like, I like to confirm there's a quorum before I begin, so.
I have a okay. Quorum.
Okay. All right. I just want to remind everybody that this is just an initial case review to determine whether there is enough concern, evidence, potential to move it, that there is a violation of statute or rule. We've had a discussion in regards all of the complaints. This is a time for the board members to discuss and to determine what they feel should occur with the complaints, and we could take them one at a time if we feel we want to just look at the merits of each one, whether it needs to move forward.
Ms. Reed, this is Artie Eve. I know you have a quorum, but I think Dr. Bohansky's involvement in this has been important since the very beginning. And I would really ask that he be present for the executive discussion. I don't want to interrupt, but I would feel a lot better if he was a part of this. I think also he's one of the people on the board who has the most experience as a neuropsychologist.
I do appreciate those comments. I would agree.
Dr. Bohansky is joining us now. Dr. Bohansky, are you on? He's still connecting.
Just another moment. I just admitted him.
Dr. Bohansky, can you hear me?
He's connecting. Another minute.
Dr. Bohansky?
I think he's still entering the code, Ms. Shreve.
Oh, okay. I feel like I'm in a phone commercial. Can you hear me now? Somebody's phone's going off. Dr. Bohansky?
I can see his video. I think we're connecting
I'm
now.
Back.
I think we have Dr. Okay.
All right. All right, thank you. Glad you're back, Dr. Bohansky. We are just going to go into discussions in regards to these cases. Remember, this is an initial case review. I would like to just take them one at a time and determine whether there is sufficient information to move it to a formal review. I want to start with case 2011. Dr. Davis Wilson, I know you were the lead. Do you have any comments?
I do not have any additional comments at this time.
Okay. I'll just start out saying I have concerns with these cases. A lot of them were during the time that a practice monitor was with Dr. Denbor for the purpose of taking care of or focusing on a lot of these issues that were identified. This was during the same time period that he was receiving Dr. Thomas' supervision and information and guidance. It just also has concerns with the individual. You know, there's definitely what this person said, what this person says, and a lot of like the copyright violations. We have copies of a document, but it's not a test. And you know, it's a copy of a document. We don't regulate copyright. I don't think as this regulatory agency. I think that's a copyright issue. The issues with the test results, I guess it determines on who's reviewing them. Nothing's been shown. We have people saying that they view, you know, Mr. Eves presented evidence that, or I guess testimony or documentation that some of the
psychologist he had looked at it, provided, said that it was, you know, they are correct. It just seems as though there's a, I just don't feel like that I'm confident with the information that it's not biased, or that it's also during a time where he already had a practice monitor, and I'm not sure how to wrap that around my head in the sense that he was already dealing with these issues at that time. Anyone else's thoughts?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Meyer.
My understanding was that we're deciding if we're rolling this into the existing consent, right? Versus moving it forward?
No, these cases, these particular cases, this is an initial review. We're going to talk later on about four that's now in an informal, an informal, what do you call it, Heidi? I'm going blank here. An informal review.
The agenda item says that this is review the following complaints and possible consolidation with Dr. Denbauer's current consent agreement.
So this is Jean Gallagher. I think, yeah, Dr. Meyer, I think one of your issues that you're hinting at, it would be possible if they consented, if the board felt that there was unprofessional conduct in these cases, one of your options could be is to roll it into the consent agreement that he's currently under. But of course, you always have the option to find that there was no unprofessional conduct in either one or, you know, all five of these cases. So that's always one of your options. But if there is unprofessional conduct, we could see if they would consent to rolling any sort of discipline into the current consent.
But it could also be a separate issue.
It could.
Okay.
It's always easier if you have outstanding cases and complaints, if you can get everything under one agreement, it's kind of easier for the respondent, easier for the staff to monitor.
So an option here, counsel, would be if we saw that there might be something here, instead of moving this to a formal or dismissing it, if we didn't, the other option is to roll this into the existing consent agreement, thus avoiding a formal for this one.
Avoiding an investigative interview or investigative hearing or a formal hearing, correct?
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I was thinking that the next step would be if we find or feel there's a possibility of violations, that these would also go to an informal hearing first rather than direct.
They could go to a informal interview, but if Dr. Denbauer and his counsel consented, we could wrap it up in a consent agreement after today.
Okay, that's an option for the board, but I guess right now we're just trying to determine if there's enough evidence to indicate possible violations.
Correct.
Correct. So in regards to 2011, what are the committee, what is the member's thoughts on that?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Flaherty, and I feel that there is ample evidence of possible violations as described previously.
Specifically, I guess, which items that were identified?
Well, I guess if we're going to go through each one, I'd say 20-11. But really, I think all of them do have it. But, you know, if we're going to go item by item, then, you know, 2011's first. And, you know, they're
That's
all...
That's right. I want to go...
Go ahead.
I think we need to go item... I want to go case by case because each case brings up different merits or different concerns. I want to make sure we're not just
throwing them all together and making a decision based on, I mean, do we feel as though what was said was, do we feel that the accusations were credible, were documented, were factual, does not have, do we feel like it, we would feel like it's enough, enough weight to say, yeah, we think there's a concern here, or is there enough counterbalance that says, well, maybe, maybe not. We have to look at factually. This is regulatory. So any thoughts on this particular case? Dr. Bohansky, is that your hand? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand, Dr. Bohansky.
No, I'm having difficulty with signal all of a sudden. I'm trying to put my telephone in a position where I can actually hear you. If I lay it down, you disappear.
Sorry.
Which may be a good thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe a good thing. All right. There's no comments on 2011. Let's just do. Yes, Dr. Miner.
Well, I feel that 20-11 has sufficient evidence to move it forward.
Okay.
And generally, would that be based upon the discussion today and the accusations laid out in the investigative report?
Yes, I can. Let me pull up the specifics.
You don't, I'm not looking for specifics. If you just reference the report, that's fine.
Yes, the reference, the information from PM, I think there's sufficient evidence there to move this forward.
All right. Any other comments?
Malat, I have a question.
Yes.
If the matter was addressed in the previous consent agreement, then do we need to bring it up as a new issue, especially because of the time frame? And address it again.
I have concerns about the same thing. This has occurred during a time that he was under a practice monitor, which is exactly what we would have done. These are not, I personally don't feel like there was enough evidence. I think they also provided enough counter discussion that some of these were not, you know, could be questioned. But I don't, Jean, do you have any thoughts on, if these are accusations that occurred during the time he had a practice monitor, is that, how do we view that?
If the conduct alleged occurred around the time that the other conduct occurred for which she is under consent agreement, and then he received guidance from a practice monitor, so that is something that the board can consider in deciding whether to move this forward. If it's happened all about the same time, he was engaging in this kind of conduct, then he got a practice monitor, it is the assumption that the practice monitor has addressed this conduct as well because it occurred about the same time or around the same time that the other conduct occurred. And that is something the board can consider in deciding whether to move forward.
Thank you. Board members, any thoughts?
Yes, Madam Chair, Dr. Morgan, I feel that there is enough for this one to go forward. You know,
okay.
With the information that was mentioned before, the information provided to us, the documentation, the statements, the photocopies, everything, I think it's all very instructive and raises a lot of concerns.
All right. Hey, Ms. Galvin, do we need a vote on these separately, or can it be a one vote, or should it be one for all of them?
I would recommend taking them separately. Some cases board members may feel need to go on. some cases, board members may feel that there is no unprofessional conduct, so they don't need to be reviewed further by the board or be subject to a consent agreement. So I would take them one at a time.
Okay. All right, so is there any other discussion on this case? Yes, Dr. Myers?
So if I'm following the cases correctly, if I, well, no, this one, I'm trying to, because of all the documents are all in one PDF, I'm not positive on which is falling under which, to be honest.
Okay, so I can, do you want me to provide an overview? I did a spreadsheet.
Well, no, that I understand, but for example, there is a recording on page, there's an audio recording on page 11, talking about him no longer being under consent agreement in July, on July 16th, 2019. So there, but I can't tell if that's for 2011 or 2017. Case 2011 or case 2017. Regardless, I see multiple issues that while he was under consent agreement, there are additional problems that occurred during that time. So unless we can, if we roll it into the consent agreement, hasn't he met the requirements for that? That's what I don't understand is, there's real concerns here that have not yet been addressed.
Okay, so I think what, Ms. Galvin, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what we would, if there was enough concern and if Ms. Dr. Denbor and his attorney agreed, we would amend the consent agreement to extend probation, to require another practice monitor, to something. It would be an amended agreement. In regards to the recording, my perception of that is the recording. I think looking at the statute, what statute did he break? He didn't lie to the board. There's a recording of him saying he's not on probation. We don't know the content. We weren't there. We don't know the bigger picture, but it wasn't to the board. There is a statute that says you can't lie to the board. So I'm not sure what violation that particular item has. That's my regulatory background. I'm trying to put these to what violation there are. So if we feel, with regards to 2011, if we feel like we want to move it forward, we just, we need to vote on it and see how everybody feels about it.
Ms. Shreve, Madam Chair, if I may?
Yes.
This is Dr. Davis Wilson, and to just because I was the lead on it, to just circle back to what 2011 is addressing and what documentation goes to it, is all specific to the newly hired psychologist reporting concerns on the copyright, potential issues with supervising the technicians, and the use of a scoring that was not consistent with the scoring manual. And so when we look, so as we look through that documentation, I kind of err on the side of Ms. Shreve that I'm not seeing the factual proof. I see the attestation of due diligence by the doctor to ensure that she's reported it and she's addressed her concerns. But specific to those main three themes. And obviously on these types of matters, I'm representing the public and not the actual the psychologist work itself. But on those three themes, is there sufficient evidence that this actually occurred? Do we have that evidence before us? And it's just specific to, so 2011 is just kind of specific to those three questions essentially. And I just wanted to provide that summary in case it helps kind of navigate some of the documentation.
Thank you. No, actually it does. Thank you. Board members, any other comments?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill.
Dr. Gill, thank you.
Do we have enough information regarding this copyright issue, whether there's been a violation or not? Do we really know, based upon references in this voluminous research that we have? Do we have the evidence before us to make a determination regarding copyright infringement?
My bigger question with that is, do we regulate copyright as a agency? So is that something that we would regulate, Ramona?
I think you're right, Ms. Sharif. We do not regulate copyright. We cannot really put sanctions on that as a board. It has come up before in previous cases over the years. So that in itself is not something we can sanction or say you have, or even put them on a consent agreement. So we have to find things that are within our purview and in terms of psychological factors. So that was the issue.
Dr. Bohansky?
I raised my hand that time.
I'm gonna politely
disagree. There are multiple copyright-related issues that are ethical violations. In this case here, if somebody copies test material, pages out of tests, as Dr. Meyer was looking at, and going through the chart, and Dr. Flower was, if you look in multiple assessments, a shortcut when you don't buy the proper testing forms is to copy a blank one you have and use it for an evaluation. Now, do people do that in an emergency? Dr. DeBonner has said, yeah, I did it a couple times, but not very many, and I think everybody's probably done it a couple times when they got in the jam. But as a regular practice, it's something that's unethical. We should not be copying other people's forms without paying for them and using them. The same is true with taking credit for other people's work or presenting someone else's work as your own, whether that's in a workbook or an exercise or what have you. If we're not putting on the bottom of it that this is somebody else's and we're presenting it as ours, that's an unethical issue. Now, we're not specifically corporate copyright hounds, but ethically, we have a responsibility to protect the work of other psychologists and the work that they've done and give them credit for it. And when using testing materials, that we buy them from the publisher and use them. Now, if you made it yourself and you got a degree or an agreement with the publisher that you can do X, Y, and Z, which is often the case, if you publish an article, as Doctor has, and you want to distribute that free to people or pass it out or put it on your website, you can get permission from your own publisher to use it and to give access to it in ways that would cost you and I money to go ahead and buy it from the journal. So there are ways that we're supposed to uphold the ethical standards and what are we going to do with a psychologist that doesn't do it? We're going to say stop doing it and go take a course in ethics and slap somebody's hand. And that's come up a whole bunch of times that we've dealt with it. Now, maybe that's not called copyright, but it certainly sounds like copyright issues to me.
And I guess what I would reply to that is I would agree it is an ethical issue, shouldn't it? But what we have is we have a copy of material, but I don't know who copied it. I don't know where it came from. We have parties that are at odds with each other, who have, you know, who are obviously not seeing things the same way. And so what I don't have is a copy of one that's filled out that shows that I can see through this, that shows it was a copy that was used. What I got is copies of a blank form.
And what we had was somebody shouting over us, telling us that that was the procedure there. Now, unless you move this forward and have a formal hearing and invite somebody to present testimony that, yes, the doctor ordered us to do assessments and use these photocopied assessment blanks, then you don't have the evidence. That we've not investigated that. Is it our duty to investigate that? Is this big of an issue? You're absolutely right when it's a he said, she said. I've heard today that Dr. DeBonner is close to an angel. He's got a charitable foundation, and he does wonderful work, and he's essentially God's gift to neuropsychology and the mediation of dementing conditions in geriatric patients. And I've heard other people suggest that he's a criminal, and that he needs multiple complaints against him, and what have you. And you know, it goes back and forth, and there's so much here, and there's so much smoldering, and there's so much smoke. It's tough to see through it and to see what's right. And that's true on all of these issues with the good doctor. And that's what makes it frustrating. Are we now going to go through and try to find enough factual stuff to hang something on?
Madam Chair?
Well, if we're going to... Yes.
This is Dr. Gill. I you know, just to... it seems to me that I could make a more informed decision if this is more than a he said, she said, and that we have maybe an investigator, or I don't know how this works exactly, but investigating and presenting before the board that this is material evidence that supports copyright infringement, or this is material evidence that the SMART program was hijacked by another program, you know, other than just somebody's opinion. It'd be nice to have something, some hard facts, so we can make an informed decision.
Well, and I think what we have is we have testimony, we have documentation from both sides saying that their side is, you know, we have someone, their side is, one's doing great, the other one has issues. We've had testimony that the copyright attorney has looked at it and has approved it. So I'm not, with regards to the copywriting, it is unethical if you're doing it. It's not appropriate at all. It's wrong. It's illegal. But I'm not hung up on that as an issue with the bigger picture. So if, any other comments on this case? Do we want to move it forward? Do we want to, Dr. Meyer?
So this first case is about all about psychological testing. It's about were the correct forms used? Did Dr. Denbauer do it versus a psychometrician? Was the psychometrician trained? How were they scored? All of that. If I look at some of the reports we used, now it's hard to tell, but it looks to me like those are photocopied forms that are included in the record. There's extra static in there, and while we're not necessarily focused on copyright, we are focused on professional conduct, and this is not professional conduct. We don't have sufficient information from the records that we've received on how these were scored, or we do have testimony or allegations from another licensed psychologist saying, when she looked at the original records, they were not scored according to the test manuals. So it's, yes, there's some he said, she said, but there's also some evidence here that this testing was not done appropriately, which we also have professional testimony from. So I think there's enough here to further investigate and move it forward.
All right, any other thoughts, Milana? Dr. Millat?
No. I think I'm in agreement with Dr. Meyer in terms of there's enough beyond just the copyright issue.
All right, is there a motion? Is there anyone, are we done, any more discussion or a motion?
So I would make a motion to... Go ahead.
Sorry, can I just get, this is Dr. Davis Wilson, one point of clarification, and again, it could just be coming from my perspective as, again, more of a public representation on this case. My one point of clarification that I have is, as far as information that could be helpful, is it that there's additional information that, or is it possible that the board staff subpoena additional records for you guys to be able to review the, you know, more factual information regarding the scoring and whatnot? Because I agree it's concerning, but I don't know that testimony alone is the same as being able to. And I know on, and we're not on another case, but on another case, the board staff was able to subpoena additional records and very quickly got additional patient records. I don't know if that's something that would be helpful or not, but I just wanted to kind of throw that out there to kind of maybe help ease some of the muddiness.
All right, thank you for your comments. Any more comments, discussion, motion?
Okay. Madam Chair, was there a motion already, or do you need one?
I don't know. Dr. Myers, did you make a motion? My head's spinning.
No, I said I'd make a motion and stop there. I would make a motion to move this forward for a formal investigation, if that's the correct terminology.
To an informal interview?
Informal interview.
If we want to, Ms. Galvin, if we want to at some point wrap all this into an amended consent decree, do we need to move that as part of a motion if we wanted to do a discussion?
No, the parties are always free to negotiate some sort of settlement. If we get to the end of these five cases and we have at least one moving forward, you can give me some idea what you might be looking for, and we could wrap it up in the other consent agreement, assuming Dr. Denbor and Mr. Eves agree.
Madam Chair, do we need specific possible violations at this time?
I'm assuming that, and we had discussed this earlier, that there were references to the testimony and evidence presented today and the allegations as set out in the investigative summary.
Okay. And I guess those could be repeated again if need be.
Okay. Do we need so we have a motion. Did we have a second?
I second.
And when we reference the investigative summary, that also includes the possible violations. If you have any additional violations, then those should be listed in the motion.
Otherwise, they're the same ones as before.
Yes, that would be the assumption because the investigative summary was referenced during the discussion.
Right. Thank you. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. I'm going to oppose it.
Is there just one in opposition?
Yep.
Okay.
This one. All right. 2017. This is a complaint from GF. Is there any discussion? I have concerns. This had to do with the waiving of the insurance, copyright, scoring procedures. I didn't find enough evidence. He is not a neuropsychologist and I didn't find enough especially with the copyright rules, to me is not the issue, but I didn't. Oops, there goes my dog. Any comments?
Dr. Meyer.
Dr. Meyer.
This one also includes the waiving of copays, which I think there's further investigation that needs to be done about this charitable foundation that we heard about for the first time. This one then includes the unprofessional conduct of statements made about the status of his license. I think there's several here. Again, it's not just copyright. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, this is Dr. Davey. I agree with Dr. Meyer. The copay thing was one that I noted that just, just add to the question. That is a cost share agreement between the individual and their insurer, and to be able to waive those kinds of things requires documentation and approval. So we need to have that information as well.
Yes, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I also am concerned. I guess this is like a common thread throughout most of it. The medical necessity of testing our clients every 2 months. That's questionable, among other things.
Okay. Any other comments or concerns?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill. There's also the ethical issue of plagiarism.
Dr. Gill, could you be more specific, please?
What GF was reporting was that Dr. Denbor was taking information, materials, what have you, from other practitioners and presenting it as his own. That's the claim.
Do we have evidence? Did you see the evidence of that, Dr. Gill?
I haven't seen evidence of it, no. That's the claim. That's GF's claim. And maybe if we're going to use the next step as a means to investigate this, then I think we should do it.
I would agree with the copay. I think that could be further investigated. In regards to the plagiarism, I believe, I don't...
To show us the children's book is found that were that...
I just don't think in our statute it talks about plagiarism. I know professional behavior, but plagiarism is a...
It's in the ethical
principles. It is an ethical issue, but it also has to do with, then you're getting it's attorney legal issues, and if there's a plagiarism, there's other realms to deal with it, but I'm not sure if that's something that, I don't think that's, it's not something I feel comfortable with.
Well, there's an unprofessional conduct, 16A says obtaining a fee by fraud or misrepresentation. In addition, DD is violating an ethical standard adopted by the board, which would be the APA ethics guidelines. So I think that those do fall under our regulatory jurisdiction.
Does it specifically talk about plagiarism in the guidelines, in the code?
Yes, it talks about, I can look that up. Something about taking other people's work.
I could repeat it if you like. It's 8.11. Psychologists do not present portions of another's work or data as their own, even if the other work or data source is cited occasionally.
Okay, and that's in the code of ethics?
Yeah.
All right. Is there any more discussion? Is there a motion?
This is Jean. I've heard a lot of concerns issued by various members, but I've also heard that, there's some more investigation. So I'm wondering, just so we get all the documentation that the board thinks is going to be helpful, do you want staff to, you know, get additional information if you're going to move this to an investigative hearing, is what I'm trying to ask. Is there staff directive that you would want information, for instance, regarding the charitable foundation and his testimony that he had cleared it, you know, through the foundation and that he had gotten permission from the various insurance companies and from Medicare? Do you want that kind of information?
Yes, I think that would be what would be helpful. Anyone else?
If we move this forward, I just want staff to be very clear what it is the board is seeking as far as additional investigation.
Yes, thank you. I would
also like to see all of the psychological reports with testing, the actual paper version of the testing materials used for all of the assessments. And these photocopies
he doesn't have access
like
to the record.
But what about FD or GF? I mean, does he have access to the records? That would be another option.
But and let me ask this, Dr. Bohansky, can I have a question? If we get records, who? And they are done by a neurologist. Who on the board has, do we have the ability to evaluate these records and determine if they were adequately or appropriately reviewed and, you know, things were identified?
We have the ability to get experts to tell us anything we need to, if that's a concern. That's not the concern I'm hearing from Dr. Meyer. I'm hearing that this is a straightforward thing. Does the chart contain an original? Let's look at the original chart.
Yes, how
are the assessments scored? I'm not a neuropsychologist. I'm not going to identify which test to give, but I am capable of looking at the test booklet and saying, based on these scores, was the correct adjustments made? So it's not that hard to say were the most up-to-date references used and just was it done correctly?
So we can certainly look at the scoring. That's not a problem. I can look up the heat norm that this doctor uses. I've got all that stuff. But it's probably makes more sense to have an expert look at it and tell us if it's right or wrong.
I would agree. And then it's neutral from us.
Okay, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I wanted to make an observation. One thing that I keep hearing is that none of us are qualified to really evaluate whether the records are good or not. We have to be a specific kind of a specialist. I do value the work of specialists. I think, frankly, most of the psychologists licensed can look at records and figure out if there are any flagrant issues. I think we should be allowed to do that without any question.
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill again. If we're going to bring in another expert, I would ask that they be very specific in their conclusions and so that we have something to work from. And very specific as to violations. The more specific, the better. The more detailed, the better. So I think up to now, we've not gotten all the details that would have really benefited us in terms of moving forward at this time.
This is Galvin. Would the board members care for an executive session?
Yes. I would like to ask for executive session.
For legal advice.
Yes. I move for executive session for legal advice. Does someone want to second that?
Dr. Davey will second that.
Thank you, Dr. Davies. All in favor, aye.
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 All right, any opposed? So please just stay where you are. They're going to magically move us into a room away from everybody else. Don't turn off your phones. Our phones move along with us. Everyone else, please stay on the line. I don't know if you're going to hear music or anything, but we will be back as soon as we're done with the deck session. All right, so just hold on. I think we're going to be magically moved.
Thank you. Bear with me. I don't have a whole lot of practice, but I'll figure this out. Hold on.
Are you? Are you using a breakout room?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Moffat.
We're going to use a breakout room.
I'm in the process of assigning board members and staff to the breakout room, executive session.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson? Dr. Davis Wilson?
I did, thank you.
Dr. Flowers?
Dr. Flowers?
Yes, good afternoon.
Dr. Bohansky? Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar? Mr. Dinar? Mr. Dinar?
Sorry.
Thank you. Dr. Gill? Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Well, Dr. Gill was there. Very good.
Thank you. Dr. Malott?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky? I believe we are just waiting on Dr. Bohansky.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Gill.
Yeah, I didn't get tuned into the executive session somehow.
Do we have Dr. Bohansky on the line?
Dr. Bohansky?
I'm here.
All right,
great.
Yeah. Yes, we have all board members.
All right. Dr. Gill, I'm sorry you weren't able to get into the executive session. So we're back on discussion regarding Dr. Genvar. So is there any more comments in regards to case 2017? And I'll raise my.
Thank you. No, that's
okay. I will. See concerns I have is that some of the issues here are the same ones that were in the prior consent agreement, where we had ordered a practice monitor to work with Dr. Denvor to assist him in providing a better service, more professional services that Dr. Thomas practice was. And some of these issues are that during that time or prior to that time, when Dr. Toma was assisting Dr. Denbor. So I'm not sure how I feel about some of the items being something that's already was taken care of during that time. Any thoughts? Should we take that into account? Should we not? Should we move forward?
If the behavior,
Dr. Bohansky.
If the behavior that's occurring in this complaint is a duplicate of behavior that we hired a practice monitor to go in there and consult on and take care of. And the practice monitor's report tells us that as of that final date, those kind of things have been cleaned up, addressed, modified, fixed, then I think we have to dismiss this complaint.
The only concern I have with is the waiving of the insurance, and I think, as I recall, Dr. Denbor said Dr. Toman knew about that. I'd need to, you know, what was, did he understand that? Did he think that was appropriate? So, you know, we I don't think we didn't hire him. I guess Dr. Denbor hired him, but, you know, we assigned a person to mentor and to provide him guidance. I want to make sure that we're not overstepping what Dr. Toma's professional opinions and thoughts were on it.
This is Dr. Meyer.
Dr. Meyer.
So I understand that with the dates of the occurrences from a clinical perspective occurred prior to the initiation of the practice monitor. The practice monitor, Dr. Thomas said that he did not evaluate the billing thoroughly or was not an expert. And with the new information about the foundation and I think we still need additional evidence about the waiving of copays. But as far as the clinical aspects then, I'll go with the decision of the board.
I'm not sure there was a waiving of copays. If what the doctor tells us, the copays were rather paid for a foundation, then they weren't waived. So there's not that violation of the agreements we have with third party payers.
That's why I'm saying we need evidence of that, that there's an allegation that they were waived. Dr. Denkor today said that there's a foundation that was paying for that. I think it's appropriate to request information about the establishment of this foundation and the agreements with the with Medicare.
All right, so they seem to be concerned about the co-pays and just confirming that the foundation paid them. And also, I'd just like to confirm that Dr. Toma knew about it and felt comfortable with it as part of the practice monitoring it. So that seems to be the issue that seems to be that we're concerned about. Is there anything else in regards to this particular case before we move any further on the discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I believe this one can go forward as well, but highlighting the issues that Dr. Meyer has mentioned, so certainly that could be looked at and then formal hearing.
And that has to do with, Dr. Meyer, as I heard, is the copay and the foundation. Dr. Meyer?
Yeah, correct. The copays and the foundation and Dr. Toma's awareness of that.
All right, so are we thinking then, is there a motion, is that like a motion to move it forward with that particular issue to have and ask staff to obtain more information from regarding the foundation and from Dr. Toma regarding that?
So motioned.
We got a motion, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, that moves. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Oh, Dr. Stein, are you opposed?
Yes.
Okay. So we have one opposing. Thank you.
All right. Next one is 2023 complaint. It was JR. This regarding billing. Jeff Lahansky, you're the lead on this one. Any comments? This is for period of 2018 and 19, as my notes say. Dr. Bohansky?
I'm here.
This was, you were the lead on this. Do you have any comments on 2023?
Yeah. So much of this is the identification of what the new owner or partner or whatever he was comes in and looks at the practice and says, all this is going on. We had seen a bunch of stuff, practice monitor go in, and supposedly all of that was set straight, according to our practice monitor. So our what we're seeing here as a complaint, behaviors that were unethical, illegal, sort of the standard of care, and the payments and billed appropriate codes and had appropriate people billing, had appropriate testing provision. Is that what actually occurred? That without getting into the legal questions that are business related, I'm not certain that we've got a lot to go on.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board?
Madam Chair, that's Dr. Flowers.
Dr. Flowers?
And it's hard to know where one complaint starts and another one begins, but, you know, it appears that there were repeated allegations that there's billing for non-existent sessions, and I don't know that the practice monitor was aware of that. It's kind of like you shouldn't bill for what never happened. That's a pretty significant issue.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments?
I agree with Dr. Flower that that's a significant issue. And I will again raise the question, did that occur after the practice monitor's final report?
I'm trying to pull up the document. My computer's flipping out.
This is Dr. Malott. There's an email that says November 18th. I don't know whether that date is significant or whether it refers to a previous issue prior to 2019. The email
okay, so this is for complaint 2023. I'm trying to pull it up real quick.
2678, I think, around that.
Okay. So this complaint says it came in on November 18th, the complaint did, which is almost exactly when the Dr. Toma finished his practice monitoring. It says that during the past 2 years, the complainant worked with them at Dr. Denbar and witnessed unethical billing practices. So it's over a two-year period, and then gives an example of he billed for 60 minutes for psychotherapy session when he never spoke with the client and spoke with them. Again, this is the person that Dr. Van Denbor said there was issues with, you know, they had conflicting issues too going on. So so it looks as though the period that she's referring to, it says during the past years, which would have been the year of Dr. Toma and the year prior to Dr. Toma, which would have been the time probably when the first complaint was filed and it went into a consent agreement. So So it would have been the time period.
If the complaints are arising from how billing was done and how practices were delivered, and we became aware of it and assisted the doctor in changing it, and now we get another complaint about it, isn't it something that we've already taken care of?
Right. So if you look, it's on page 15, that's when this particular complaint starts. So it says it's for that time period of Dr. Toma and the year before, which is would have been when the complaint came in, because it would have taken at least 6 months or so to process. Any comments? Thoughts?
Yeah, again, Madam Chair, I just hopefully Dr. Toma was aware of this kind of issue when that was going on.
My understanding was that this was one of the primary issues, you know. Of course, Dr. Toma did say billing was not his specialty, but it was part of the package that Dr. Toma had addressed.
And page 3600 in Dr. Thomas' first report, it specifically mentions billing as being one of the issues addressed by his monitoring.
That 3600 on our report?
Page 3600 out of 3641 of the...
Thank you.
Sorry, 3599.
35. Oh, got it. Thank you. All right, are any other comments regarding this? Is there a motion?
I'm on mute. I make a motion that we dismiss this one.
All right, is there a second?
Seconded.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Are any opposed?
Yes.
Aye. Hearing... Okay, is that Dr. Flowers, that was you?
Yes.
And Dr. Davey. Dr. Davey.
And Dr. Davey. Okay, so two and opposed. All right, moving to the next one is 2024. This was an anonymous complaint. I'm the lead on this. This is the one where he reflects that he's the chief medical officer on LinkedIn. Talks about that he's a doctor, that he refers to him as himself as a doctor, which he does have a PhD. I don't see enough verification or concern or evidence to warrant a statute or rule violation.
What page are you on?
If you turn to page, let me go back at the top. I'll find the. There's like 25-ish. It's on page 17 is where it starts. This was an anonymous complaint from a person, potentially from a senior living center, but basically that he's misleading the public by calling himself a doctor, that although he has a PhD, he's not an MD, you know, but he calls himself a chief medical officer, which I would agree with, I think, Mr.
Eve, that a chief medical officer is typically referred to, you know, more of a policy person. I mean, I probably not the best term that to be using. That he's also defrauded the public by claiming he's a doctor at Farrell's Neurological. So these are anonymous. I don't see any strong evidence. A lot of it's been discussed. Anyone see it differently? I'm open to any comments.
I think we need to move on this one too. I make a motion to dismiss.
We have a motion to dismiss. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None, the motion carries. The last item is 2037. It's regarding Aetna. Dr. Davis-Wilson, you were the lead. Do you want to, any opening comment, any thoughts or comments?
Madam Chair. I know that there's been question by board members regarding kind of dates of incidences and how that aligns with the practice monitor. To just summarize and provide clarification of that specific to this particular case, it does appear that Dr. Fulma addresses the two critical issues of this case, one of which being the documentation of each session, specifically noting that moving forward that would be changing after that first quarter. The second one was related again to the billing. I still am, from reviewing the records, concerned about the billing, and I am concerned that about what records were reviewed versus what records were not reviewed. But it does look like the main overlying concerns of this particular complaint were addressed by Aetna themselves, of which they have chosen to not take any action, as well as by Dr. Thoma in his first quarter report as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Aetna's not taking any action, not moving forward. It appears Dr. Thoma addressed some of this. Is there any other comments or thoughts from the board members?
Madam Chair, can I add one other comment related specifically to this case, but it kind of carries over as a theme. One thing that I think stood out to me on this particular case, but it again, it's not isolated to this one, is the blatant disregard for responding to board staff in a timely fashion. I think that, and to this day, we still don't have a response regarding this particular complaint. And so I don't know if that has been addressed in past or is something to look to address. I'm concerned because this is kind of a common theme as well.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think, Mr. Eve, were you representing Dr. Denbor on 2037? I think I was supposed to ask that.
I'm not.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Dr. Davis-Wilson, for your comments. And I would echo, yeah, we didn't receive anything. Any other comments? Is there a motion or further discussion? How does the committee feel about it? Do we feel it's enough to move forward, or do we feel as though with that between the timeline of Dr. Thoma and it appears that Aetna is not taking action. I don't know how we review it. Dr. Bohansky, you look like you're going to talk.
I move we dismiss it.
You got a motion to dismiss. Is there any discussion?
Hearing none.
Second.
Dr. Flowers?
I was concerned about the behavior, but I guess what's being stated is due to the practice monitor, hopefully these issues have been dealt with.
Thank you. We have a motion. Was there a second?
A second.
I believe Mr. Dinar.
Mr. Dinar, did you second it? All right, thank you. Sorry, I'm trying to keep track of all this on. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Flowers opposing. Is there any others? All right, hearing none, Dr. Flowers. All right, I would suggest we take like a 10-minute break, and then we will come back and move on to the next item, which is, I believe, the formal interviews of other cases. So if we could come back at, it's now about 2:35, maybe 2:45, does that work? Please just don't hang up, just put your phones on mute, and we'll all rejoin in about 10 minutes.